Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Noel McCarthy is with me on the line today. Noel, you got in touch with us. So you're the primary carer for your father. And when you became his carer, you had to reduce the time you spent in work so you could be at home with your dad. Will you tell us about his condition?
So my dad is 78 years of age, and my dad came to live with me back in 2017 after my mom passed of cancer. And I suppose it kind of just happened. I suppose I didn't even realise it happened. It was all through discussions with hospitals when he wasn't well. And the nurse was said, look, your dad wouldn't be able to live on his own anymore. So, you know, I took that in. And as you mentioned there, at the time I was working in full-time employment, which I've always had. But after, I suppose, 3.5 years of looking after him, his health deteriorated and I had to give up work and then look for some part-time work. But overall, I mean, dad's biggest health issue will be he's a type 1 diabetic of 56 years. He has COPD, and he has recently, over the last 2 years, gone through multiple amputations on his toes. So he's lost 3 toes on the left foot, followed by, most recent in August there, another toe was removed on the right foot. Okay. But I mean, people might hear amputation and think, oh, you go in, get them removed. Dad has vascular issues within his legs, so the process was very much, he wanted the body to self-amputate, so as a carer, it's something I had to manage. So 7 days a week, cleaning toes to a point that one of his toes actually fell off in my living room. And then he had to go in and he had to then surgically remove the rest. It was a year of hell, I'll be honest.
Oh, God. This was medically managed from afar, Noel, was it?
So we would attend Bournemouth Hospital, or we'd go and see the vast team of Bournemouth. And we live in Meath, so we'd have to travel to Dublin, or we'd have a public health nurse that we'd go and see twice a week. But I was trained on how to clean the feet, clean the toes, you know, clear away the pus, watch out for infection and so on and so on. And I was told, you know, over the year period, what would happen. Basically, toes went black. I'll describe it how we'll all eventually look in coffins, but, you know, the toes went completely black, no blood supply, and to a point they were just literally hanging off. But the infection got so bad that the surgery had to remove 2 of them, but one of them did literally fall off in my living room, and I just had to dispose of it. And it was an awful time, and the most recent one was, again, a toe deteriorated. It was infection after infection. I had to push with the local public health nurse, Bournemouth Hospital, getting back in. He went in for a 3-day procedure that went on for 3.5 weeks because he ended up getting pneumonia as well. And he's 4 weeks home now, and thank God he's doing well. But it's been a very challenging 4 weeks.
And when you got in touch with us first, Noel, you know, and you sent in the email and you know, you sent in some photographs as well with that. And, you know, and I have to say, and I'm conscious for people listening to this today and you know, and with great respect for your dad as well, like, you know, it was for you dealing with that as a carer, and you know, the photographs are, God, they're pretty graphic. You know, they're as graphic as you've described there today to listeners. Like that, like that's difficult for you. You're probably someone maybe with no medical background, even, you know, to deal with that and be caring for your dad like that at home.
Absolutely. Like, my part time job is medical administration. I work for a home care company. Yeah, I've had to be very much sit in front of doctors, nurses, consultants, and, you know, be shown them what to do. And yeah, you're 100% right. And I do feel in later life, I don't have time to think about it now. But sometimes I do sit back and go, but that's how I really actually fall off of my living room. Did that really actually happen? But you know, you're so caught up in the moment and when you're caring for someone, you don't actually get the time to think about it. But it won't surprise me if it comes back in later life to haunt me. And I'll be honest, I will be honest. Like, other people have said, how do you do it? I've other family members, and they're very honest. Like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't look at it. I'm just very much used to it. And I don't have other support. I don't have, I'm a gay man, not that matters, but I don't have children or a wife, and I don't have, like, I have family, but they, you know, they're off doing their own thing with their jobs and their children, their grandchildren. So it's very much me and me only, and like, there's no.
So you're minding for your dad really full time, and obviously with his
full time, seven days a week, and it doesn't end. Like, it's, I mean, I get up during the night. Dad's type 1 diabetic, and you know, he suffers a lot of hypos where the blood sugars drop, and I set my alarm for 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock to get up twice just to do a quick scan. He has a reader on the arm where I can check the, and just short sugar, and if it's a case that they're low, I'll, you know, have to give them, you know, Lucozade or whatever it may be, or they're high, I may have to give them some food. And that's always a challenge because I'm not in humour of eating at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it just needs to be managed the best I can. And, you know, and with low sugars, high sugars, it impacts the healing of the feet as well. So he's literally only over an amputation. But what else comes with amputation besides losing it? It's the balance. He's on a walk.
Well, I was just about to ask Noel with all of this. I mean, how is his mobility, you know, for day to day?
So there's people being at my home in the last 3 weeks assessing the home because they feel it's not fit for purpose now and they're taught me a stair lift. And my goal is to keep Dad as independent as long as possible. So I don't have a bathroom downstairs. I have a two-bedroom house. So I've kind of made his bedroom into his own little, like, you know, a telly, a seat and whatever, and the bathroom is outside. He does come downstairs, but I try to avoid that him coming up and downstairs as much as possible. So Dad would eat in the bedroom. Dad has his breakfast in the bedroom, but again, I would do all the cooking that's up and down the stairs. He obviously does come down and go back up, but I kind of keep that to a minimal, you know, best I can, because he is a falls risk, and he 100% is. He's on it. He uses his stick as an aid.
And how's his form, Noel? He's been through it.
Yeah, he wouldn't be great. Like, he's very up and down. And at minute he's in good form. We were planning a little 2-day breakaway next week, just local hotel an hour away. And he's really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
and I'm just trying to arrange everything and appointments and schedule things. But I want to make it happen for him because it's very important for his mental health. And recently I've got approval. He's going into a day centre once a week for 3.5 hours locally. And he absolutely loves it. So I would drop him there. I have to make sure all the medication is done, the insulin is given, because they won't take responsibility, which is understandably. And I collect them then at 2 o'clock. But he absolutely loves it. And I, as I said, I try to keep him as independent as possible and engage with people as best I can.
Well, fair play to you, Noel. He's very lucky to have you. You know, by the sounds of things, he's lucky to have you as his advocate in his corner for him. So that's the situation at home. That's your dad.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of all of that, I suppose in your spare time, if you want to describe it as that, you've been working an 18.5-hour week. Is that right?
Yeah. So I mean, just my thing is, I mean, I have to work. A carer's allowance currently is 260 a week. Two payments that wouldn't cover my mortgage. And I've always worked full time. I'm working since I was 16. I mean, I've always paid my taxes and done what I needed to do. And fortunately, these things come into your life and you just try and manage. So if I was to live on carers, myself and my dad would be homeless because it wouldn't cover my mortgage. And I'd have to go into arrears, the banks would be moving in and take my home. So I work 18 hours currently a week. I do two evening shifts on a Tuesday and a Wednesday from 5 to 10. And I do a weekend shift 8 hours. So I can't work. I don't have the luxury to go and work in a shop or an office from 9 to 5
okay.
because my work day needs to start when hospitals are finished. Because I attend Ballmount Hospital, Mad Hospital, Dundalk Hospital, the Lady Lourdes Hospital. I attend appointments with the public health nurse twice a week. So when my caring day, which is still not over, I start work. And
that's when you start your own job.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I work at 10.
So
yeah.
You've been working an 18-hour week, two evenings midweek, and then one full day at the weekends.
Yeah,
and what's
an 8-hour shift at weekends?
Yeah. And what's the issue now?
So back in 2023, I was working for a company and my carers came under review in June of 2023. Absolutely fine. That's their policy and procedure. I got the letter, and the first thing I noticed about the letter was you have 10 days to respond to this or your payment would be stopped. I'd lost 4 days by the time the letter got to me, and it was based on the date of the letter. So I, you know, made contact. That my dad's currently going through an amputation. I'm up to my eyes. I will get you the documentation, but I just think you need to give me as a carer more time. They agreed we'll give it till the end of the month. And I just said, and your wording is quite aggressive. And I raised that with the carers department. You know, you need to be very much, when can you get it to us? We understand you could be busy. You are a carer. You're not sitting at home doing nothing. So anyway, I got the documentation for them, which was payslips. It was bank statements. Everything that I needed. Mm. I looked at it. I got a letter from my employer at the time. The operations manager said, Noel works for us 18.5 hours maximum a week. Noel is a remote worker. I have to work remotely. I've known to look after that. Thank God today, I still have a remote job. The outline, we pay Noel for his breaks. And my breaks equated to 3 to 3.5 hours a week. Gave the pay slips, gave everything in June 2023. 4.5 months, and please note, 4.5 months later, October of 2023, I went on about my business, caring for Dad, working my part-time, paying my bills. A letter came in to say, well, actually, you're in breach of the carers. You're working 22 hours. I responded back, no, I physically work 18.5 hours a week. the 22 hours reflected my breaks. And I explained, I gave another letter from the employer saying, no, there's these long shifts and these are no breaks. And basically the company are saying, no, can take as many breaks as you want as long as the business is managed. And I know they'll all say, oh, there's a working active place. There is a working active place, but the public sector are union protected. I'm not union protected. And I'm very much appreciate my job. And
so you're working for a private employer, and it's 18 hours that you're working, but you get paid for your breaks.
It was 18 and a half at the time, and I got fully paid for my breaks. My breaks, and I'll be honest, were always used to provide care. My dad is here when I'm working. So I'm up and down, administering insulin. I'm cooking his lunch, his dinner. My dad has to eat at certain times on certain diets, medications, blister packs.
So the breaks are really to facilitate caring for your dad while you're at work, working from home. So you got the this letter, I take it, is from the Department of Social Protection, is it?
The Department of Social Protection. Right. I engaged back and forth. Then another 3 months went by and I got a letter in the door to say, we are going to revoke 21,890 or 2 years of pay. And I tried to engage with...
Sorry, 21,000?
Yeah, I have the letter, near enough, a little under 22,000 euro. And I can imagine the stress of this. And I do not have that. I mean, I'll have to go...
So you're getting a letter in the post from the Department of Social Protection to tell them that you owe them 22,000 euro?
Yeah, honestly. And I tried to engage back and got more documentation, more letters. And they were just like, no, wouldn't have a bar. I dealt with the siding officers. And I mean, I managed a contract with HSE before, and I know the role of a deciding officer. When I worked in financial service, I managed for the medical cards for 2 years, and I know the role of a deciding officer. And it's a very much, the procedure in front of them, follow this, and if someone doesn't hit this criteria, you don't get their medical card. And the exact same here. So I basically engaged best I could, completely engaged, got nowhere with them. I explained my situation, same photographs that I sent to yourself, essentially. This is what I'm currently dealing with. I can't cope with the stress of this. Then I had to go down an appeals process. So this is going on 2.5 years of my life where I'm trying to look after a very sick man.
It started in October. It's gone on since October 2023, Noel, and we're now at November 2025. And are you still being told you owe this 22,000 euro to the department?
Yeah, so I've gone through an appeals process, and the truth is, during the appeals process, I asked, could I have an oral appeal? I'm a carer. I'm up to my eyes. I'm not representing myself well enough through email. I basically don't have the time to sit down. I tried my best, and I got a response back, which again I have here, to say an oral appeal is at our discretion, and I was just dismissed. So I'm now, my complaint is now with the Ombudsman. The appeals, I've reached out to an array of TDs. Some have been, I suppose when I reached out to the TDs, I was surprised that what I'm dealing with is a secretary or a personal assistant. And I'm not going to sit here and say they've been great, because they haven't been. I mean, some of the responses back is that, well, we don't really know how to deal with that type of case. Okay, it's your job to learn how to deal with it. You're meant to be here to support the people. And one particular TD secretary, he was very good. He went out, and I've been asked for 2.5 years, because I was asked to ask this question from a local councillor, asked him, where's the legislation that states your break time must be included in your work time? I went out to Heather Humphrey.
Yeah, because I would have thought the breaks were beyond they weren't included in your work time, I would have thought.
No. So this is the truth. So I went out and asked the question. At the time, Heather Humphrey was the Minister of Social Protection. I got a ridiculous response, which was all quoting their policies and procedures. No one would answer the question down to the Department of Social Protection. Neither would the appeals officer. Nobody. But I eventually after getting an answer after 2.5 years, a TD's personal assistant got it for me, and it literally states there is no information around breaks. It's not included in the application form for carers.
So right now you're being told you have to pay this 20. When do you have to pay this 22,000, by?
So it's going through another complaint. So what happened then is...
Well, it's the Ombudsman's looking at it now. So when are you expecting a decision on that?
They said 3 to 6 months. So it's going to go on till, it'll be over... By the time I probably get a response, it'll be June, I'd imagine.
June. And when have the department said in the latest letter that you have to pay this money, by?
2nd of October of this year, 2025.
So and last month it should have been paid?
So they'll then sit down and look at my overall money and say, this is what we want back. I mean, it's like, so I have basically struggled for the last 2.5 years and, trying to just keep my head above water to have this hanging over me. Like, I mean, I work for a home care company. I know how much it would cost the state to send carers into my dad's home for meals on wheels to come here, and for my dad to be, like, my dad can't get on a bus because of his, you know, his hospital appointments in Dublin. There is no bus from Bettystown to Beaumont Hospital, to the Mater Hospital. He can't get on it anyway because of his balance. Like it would cost the state thousands, thousands, and thousands to facilitate what my dad would need.
I know.
And that's the taxpayer that would need to pay that. All I get is 260 euro a week. There's no other supports coming in here. No home care package.
260 euro a week coming in, and you've been told you have to pay back this 22,000 euro. And should the stress
and I have
that
my basics, my very, I obviously work 18 hours, but that 18 hours, I mean, I'm not on major money, but it covers my bills. I mean, I'm literally keeping my head above water to survive. And you know, what they're looking at is if you're a criminal or you're a piece of dirt. I'm a carer that's caring for my dad. I wish I didn't have to work because it would take so much pressure on me that I could sit back in the evening. I'm literally getting my dad set up.
So you're having a minute by the sounds of it, you know.
And throughout my health, like, I now am suffering with high cholesterol, my blood pressure, like, everything. And I've never been to the doctor more myself. And, you know, you often say to you, you know, you're so focused on looking after someone that you forget about yourself.
So Noel, you're waiting to hear back. So it'll be 6 months now from last month. You'll hear June next year. You'll hear back from the ombudsman. Yeah. They'll give a decision, and I suppose that'll direct whether or not the Department of Social Protection will pursue this 22,000.
Yeah.
And that's hanging over you now, and the stress of that for the next 6 months.
So it's still hanging over me for 6 months. And I'm being very, very honest. I do not have that type of money to pay back. And I'm being very honest.
Who would have 22,000 sitting in a bank?
I will literally have to go and stand in front of the judge. And I mean, my dad has said, Noel, go and get my hospital records. Surely they're going to look at them and go, how could anyone work above 18 hours? How are you even managing to work 18 hours?
Where are you finding the time to do that?
I honestly have to. And my current employer and my operations manager, she's so understanding, and they're probably so understanding because I work for a home care company, and you know they're probably.
So they know better than anyone. You know the stress that you're under and what you're dealing with, and so you're waiting basically, and it's sort of, you know, I'm nearly a bit surprised too that it could take, you know, it might come back sooner, but that it could take up to 6 months, you know, to get the decision back from the ombudsman investigation into this.
3 to 6 months, and I really hope I get to represent myself well with them, and they really fight my case. But you can imagine, like, if you look back 2023, they took 4.5 months to tell me I was doing something wrong. Like, you're in your job today as a race representative.
Well, I'll tell you,
your manager.
I'll know about it in 20 seconds,
though. But you see, this is the public sector, this is the Department of Social Protection getting away with this. Like, they're, and then to say, so I went on with my life, and you know, and I just forgot about it, and I let her, I was like, what the hell is going on?
No, she
and
got bolted again, the blue then.
And then wait, there's 4 to 4 months. And it's like, how, like, are they getting away with 4 to 5 months responding? And you try and challenge them. Like, and I honestly, what I found when I'm dealing with TDs and local councils, you don't want to challenge people. You don't want to challenge the government.
Look after yourself, Noel, because...
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about it, and I'm sure I'm not.
I know you're at your wits' end. I
just think the government and the department so need to understand. You know, carers are caring. It's a job, and the bulk of us have to also work beyond that because it doesn't cover the bill. It just doesn't. And I mean, so am I meant to sit back and say to the bank, "You move in now and take my home"? And when my dad passed, what will I have? Nothing. I'll be on the street because if no one will actually listen to me, and we've got. You know, TDs just won't challenge. I need them to be challenged on their policies and their procedures.
Well, God, no, it's an incredibly difficult situation, and I don't know what to say to you because it's just, you know, you can hear it in your voice, the stress that you're under, and, you know, in as a result of this and waiting to get back the information on the outcome of all of this. Just another listener actually getting in touch. I cared for my mum for 4 years at home. I got 96 euro per week care allowance with 4 children. Revenue wanted me to sell my farm, sell my livestock because they didn't believe that I could get up at 5 a.m. and do my farm work. Then get my mum up at 9, take care of the entire day, go back to the farm at 6 p.m. The whole system is rotten. Even house calls, HSC cut house calls and sent in private companies, so I didn't feel we're very good, says this listener. Another texter, it's totally outrageous listening to Noel's story today. He's not paid for breaks, they're included in his total hours. Another listener too getting in touch with a similar story. No, look after yourself and your dad as well, because it's an extremely difficult situation for you and your dad. If other listeners want to get in touch with us today, if you find yourself in a similar position to Noel, emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Another texter, fair play to Noel, doing as much as he can for his dad. He deserves every support that he should be able to get. I think that the trauma of actually seeing a parent like this will only hit people down the road. It's too much to even bear thinking about, says this listener. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. The department have actually, they've got in touch with us. They've got back in contact with us here. So they've sent me in a really long, full A4 page statement, paragraph after paragraph. And just, I suppose, the main points in relation to Noel's story. The Department of Social Protection say while carer income support payments are based on the amount of full-time care and attention, it also allows carers to engage in work training and education for up to 18 and a half hours per week. So both the full-time care and attention requirement and the 18 and a half hour limitation are contained in respective legislation, and they've linked all of this. So in relation to the working hours, the department relies on the hours reported by the carer regarding their weekly engagement in employment, education, training. This application includes a question regarding the number of hours worked, self-employment, education. It does not include any question regarding break times. And as per the legislation, the average amount of these activities shouldn't exceed 18 and a half hours per week. So with regards to break times, it should be noted that payments for breaks is not a statutory entitlement. Whether lunch breaks are paid depends on the individual's employment contract. Where a person is paid in respect of these breaks, it is counted as part of the person's income for means purposes. So it is counted. They include the breaks. So if you're working 22 hours, then you're exceeding this 18 and a half hour limitation. And on Noel's point with regarding the oral hearings, an oral hearing is generally arranged where there is a conflict in the evidence of, or whether further clarification is required. Under new regulations that come into effect this year, appealants have the right to request an oral hearing, which the appeals officer will consider when deciding how best to ensure the appeal is fully and fairly determined. And that's the statement. And Noel, if you're still listening, I'm happy to send that on to you. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.